In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos Anesti. Good. Kullu sahi. Everyone's awake. Of course, during this time, the church is in between two great feasts. The Ascension Feast, which we celebrated last Thursday, and the Feast of Pentecost, which is coming next Sunday, God willing. As we mentioned last week in the Gospel, Christ said to us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And last week we were focusing on how he said that he is the truth. Next week we'll hear in the Gospel where he says that I'm going to send you another type of truth, but it's the Spirit of truth. So we'll find that the Holy Spirit is the continuation of the truth that Christ came to establish. So just to review what we spoke about last week, we said that Christ came and he fulfilled all the truths and all the questions that man, the difficult questions that man has about life and our purpose here. We saw that Christ was the truth of God. Many people ask, who is God? And as we recall, we spoke about the people in Athens, the Areopagus, and how they had the altar that was written to the unknown God. And when St. Paul went to meet them, he told them, this is the one that I've come to declare to you. So in Christ, we understand God, and we understand his desire. Maybe in the Old Testament, maybe his mercy and love at times showed, and then his judgment at times was more evident. But in Christ, we see that his love and mercy is full today, and his judgment will come and when he returns again. As he said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So we saw the truth of God. Then we answered the question of who am I? What is man? What is the truth of man? And we came to the realization that God created or wanted to create man in his image, or he created him in his image and his likeness. And he wanted this image to be sustained for eternity and for them to grow in their love for one another and ultimately be unified together. But because of our mistakes and our sins and our choices, we chose to depend on somebody else besides God, that being ourselves. So Christ or God didn't want to leave us like this. So he sent us his Son to redeem us and restore the state of man. So how we can see now in the person of Jesus Christ what God intended on when he created man. The perfect, sinless, loving, caring, compassionate, affectionate, emotional man. And the Lord Christ. So we saw that he was the truth of God and the truth of man. We also look to Christ for being the truth of life. The truth of life. Many people say, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? At one point, everybody needs to ask themselves, if they haven't already, what is the purpose of my life here? What makes me different from the animals? What makes me different from the plants? Am I special? Have I been endowed by God by something special? Have I been endowed by something special? In the book of Isaiah, it says about those who try to live without God, he says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And it's kind of ironic how in the Bible it mentions the philosophy of those who live in this day and age without God in their lives. You speak with any, you know, atheist or anybody that doesn't believe in God about the purpose and meaning of life. Ultimately, they will say it's just, randomness and chance, and we will eventually die. So it comes to no surprise when they ask them about the meaning of life, they say it's meaningless. It's meaningless. I was once watching a debate between a Christian and an atheist, and at the end of the debate, the moderator said, I'm going to ask you one question, and I want you to answer me honestly. And he says, I'm going to ask you both the same question. And the question was, what evidence can I produce for you to prove to you your opposite viewpoint? So he told the Christian, what evidence can I produce to prove to you that there is no God? And the Christian wisely said, if you can prove to me that Christ did not rise from the dead, then I would believe, then I would be more likely to believe that there's no God. And then he went to the atheist and asked him the same question. And he said, what evidence can I produce for you to make you believe that there is a God? And of course, all of the evidence points in this direction. So instead of answering the question directly, what does he say? He says, if you put $3 million in my Swiss bank account. He turned it into a joke. But actually, the joke reveals to him what his desire is. And that is the world. The world. Live, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. This is a sad outlook on life. And it leaves us with no meaning or purpose in our life. But Christ came to give us life and to give us His life. He says, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. They may have life more abundantly. And as he says, he also continues and says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So now he says that I have come to give you life, but it's not enough that you yourself have life. But he says, as I have sent you, or as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So every one of us here today, we have a purpose because we are Christian. And that is what? To reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to the whole world. To share with them that now you no longer can live meaninglessly, but there's a purpose in your life. There is a goal that you can work and strive to. There is meaning to this life because we know that in the afterlife there is something far greater. And as Christ teaches us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. So our purpose in life is to be like Christ. Is to be like Christ. What did Christ do when he was here? He loved unconditionally, then we love unconditionally. He served and washed the feet of the disciples, then I serve and wash the feet of my brethren. Maybe not literally, but if it comes down to it and I need to, yes, I will even wash the feet of my brethren. Because Christ did it. We look at the example of Christ that he set before us, because this is the perfect being that God, the perfect being, and this is the one that God had set up to be as an example to us. And to show us, this is what I intended to create. But sin has defiled it. Christ came to teach and to reveal the truth and to show people kindness and love. And we should do the same. Christ gave us the truth and he gave us the message of the gospel. We saw how he said that I am the truth and the way and the life. So he being the head, we being the body, we take from him and give to others. We cannot claim to have the truth outside of Christ. So if we try to share with others the truth outside of Christ, it becomes a lie because it doesn't become the truth. So we take the truth from him and we give it to our brethren. If you look at Satan's primary work in this world, it's to disrupt the love that is between and the relationship that is between me and myself, me and my brethren, and me and God. He wants to disrupt the truth of this love between us. And we find he says, and he can promise many things. He can promise us money. He can promise us position. He can promise us fame. All of these things he'll give in exchange for your relationships and for the love that you have for one another and the love that you have with God. Do I let any of these come in between my relationship between myself and others? We said if Christ came to love and sacrifice, then we do the same. Do I let money come in between love and sacrifice between me and my brethren? Do I let my position come in between loving somebody and serving them? No, I hope not. Christ came being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He humbled Himself and said that I come to serve, not to be served. Do I expect to be served? كده واقف, you know, like Abuna. Do I expect people to serve me? I was visiting New Jersey a few weeks ago, and I had the pleasure of meeting Abuna Tedros Malati. It's like a walking saint. Just somebody carrying his tunya bag, he wouldn't let them do. Because he said, I can do this for myself. When I can't do it for myself, then I'll let you carry. He came to serve, not to be served. Christ came to serve, not to be served. This is the truth, and one of the purposes and meanings of our life is to be like Christ, be His representatives here. The world doesn't need to hear about Christ because they have that everywhere, but the Lord needs to see Christ in us. They need to see Him in us because this is a rarity. Lastly, Christ came and He is this, or He gave to give us the Spirit of Truth, which we'll hear more about next week. But Christ told His disciples that He is the truth and the way and the life. And then all of a sudden, on the day of the ascension, He ascended to heaven and was taken from them. So the truth was taken from them. If I was in the place of the disciple, I would be a little bit shaken. Okay, if you say you're the truth and now you're leaving, now what? But He says, don't worry. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. So He says, I'm going to send you the truth in the form of the Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. Because now the Spirit is left with the task of declaring to us the truth of God. No longer do we have the sermons that Christ gave. You know, He doesn't give us new sermons for this day and age. What we have, we have. But we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us to the truth. So how does the Holy Spirit do this? In case some people say, you know, this is very common, people will say, oh yes, the Spirit told me this. I ran into a guy at IKEA once, and just a young kid in college, and we just began to talk, and he tells me, just the other day I baptized somebody. And I told him, by what authority? He's like, the Holy Spirit told me. The hell, anybody can do anything and the Holy Spirit can tell them? How do we know this is not the lie? The Lord left us two things in which the Holy Spirit works. One, He gave us the Spirit of Truth, and as we said, that the Holy Spirit, as He said, will bring to our remembrance everything that Christ has said. So He gives us the Spirit within ourselves to rebuke us, to guide us. You know, sometimes we might not be able to recall exactly what is God's teaching, but we can recognize when something is wrong. And this is great. This is the Holy Spirit. When we look at something and recognize something is wrong, but I just can't pinpoint it. Let me go seek some advice. And the second and most important is that He left us the church. He gave us the church. Saint Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he says to him, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. So God left us, or Christ left us, the church. And as Saint Paul describes it as being the pillar and the foundation and the ground of truth. So if I have no church, or if I don't believe in a church, or the church, then what grounds am I basing this truth upon? Christ used the church to reveal to it the truth of the matter. There are many things that the church has encountered and will continue to encounter that aren't mentioned in the Bible. How do I know what position to take? How do I know what position to take? I go to the church. What is the opinion of the church? What is the viewpoint of the church? And whatever the church says, I will follow wholeheartedly. because I believe that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church's job is to share the truth with the whole world. The truth with the whole world. Many people may not be in the church, but yet believe that there is a God. But it's the church's job to reveal to them and to get them to say, along with all of us, truly we believe in one God, God the Father, and the creed, the Orthodox creed. That's why we remember and we begin the creed by saying, truly we believe in one God, and we continue, because this is the pillar and the foundation and ground of truth. I will leave you with this last question, and that is my life reflecting the truth of Christ? The truth of which God intended to create man. Is this how, when people look at me, what they see? This is what the world needs, to see Christ in us. I pray that during this remaining period of the Pentecost, we think about this. And as we enter into the Apostles' Fast, and we all begin to fast together, and this is when the church was born, at the day of Pentecost, and the apostles sent out into the world to preach with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. I challenge all of us to go out into the world and preach with this power, and to share Christ's message with this power. Engage people and let them ask you about the faith and the hope that is within you, so you can share it with them. Do not be shy, do not be scared. As Christ said, that the Holy Spirit will give you utterance when you need it. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.